Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we're going to be joined in studio, a special guest here this afternoon. And we're going to be talking about critical race theory. And this is certainly a critical subject today. Glad you're with us. And, of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I invite you to check us out there. You can find past programs there. Also want to let you know that if you go to some of our social media accounts, you can find links to them there. I've just been slow this past week. I wanted to get some stuff updated on the website, but the social media is easier faster to post stuff. I had the opportunity to go down to Columbus on Tuesday to speak in opposition to House Bill 73, which wants to take away the testing, and it's part of an ongoing effort to eliminate the not only the testing but the teaching of our founding documents to our students in high school across the state of Ohio. So I won't talk about that right now, but I'll be getting some links to that on there, which you can find on some of our social media as well. But check us out, livewithpastoral.com, and then, of course, information on our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. That'll be coming up at the end of the program, and we'll be there tonight. Our Bible study at 7 o'clock, and if you got a chance to come out and join us, we'd love to have you. But today, we have in the studio, we have our special guest, Michael Goldstein, who is going to be talking about critical race theory, and he has got some insights on this and some information that really you need to hear about. And so I'm going to let him introduce himself here, and we'll jump into this topic here today. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you, Pastor Al. It's good to be with you again. Every time it's a joy, a pleasure. Except I miss Kim, so I'm sorry she's not here with
she's
you.
She's working so that I can be here playing. So
yeah, that's what's happening with me. My wife is working. Okay. Yeah, I am. My organization is Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. It's at pjtn.org. I am the State of Ohio Director and General Counsel for this organization, headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee, and we've got chapters in Australia and in South Africa. In Africa, we've got Black Christians. This is a Christian organization dedicated to educating Christians on their biblical duty to support and defend Israel and the Jewish people. We do this with media. We've got about 50 DVDs out there. You can get them on the website, which are different aspects of the juxtaposition of Israel, Christianity, and Judaism. There's also a DVD out there about how the Jews helped the blacks during the Civil Rights era down south, marching with Martin Luther King and getting assassinated. And, you know, and what we find is that black folks nowadays are completely unaware of this history. Not only the children who haven't been taught it, but the pastors don't know about it either. So one of our we have a DVD on that, and I hand it out in the inner city to people sometimes. And we do work in the legislatures, which is what I do a lot of in Columbus. Testifying, I didn't testify Tuesday with Pastor Al, but he held the line for us there, which was great. And I'm working with some other people on critical race theory bills to get it out of the schools. So we're working on that. Critical race theory, most of us are aware of it because our children and grandchildren are coming home upset from school. They don't understand what's going on with them. Why a kid comes home 7 years old, why do the Puerto Rican kids hate me? You know, why am I guilty of oppressing black people? You know, this is the sort of stuff they're hearing and learning in school. White supremacy, white power, white fragility. But if any of you have experienced this, where your kids come home and tell you about it, I'm going to have something you can actually do about it now and to help us. What most people don't understand, secondly, is what the ultimate goal is of this teaching. And many of you have heard of the 1619 Project, which is being taught as history in the schools, but which its own editor says is not history. It's just to change the narrative in America, that starting with that the founding of America was when the first slaves came over, and the Revolutionary War was fought not to separate us from a tyrannical England, but to retain the institution of slavery in the United States. But the ultimate goal is set out in the 1619 Project writings by a gentleman named Matthew Desmond, who really is more of a historian of modern times rather than colonial times. But he explains it, that what they're looking for is to implement something that would recognize a systemic racism, meaning the whole system is biased against black people, and we need to tear down the whole system. We need to replace the free market economy with a collective economy, a Marxist economy, and that everything would be owned by the government and run by the government. We see how well that's working now. And one of the interesting, if not hilarious, things in his writing is that he states that the horrible things that are happening in the black communities today, the neighborhoods are terrible, the kids can't learn in school, there are no jobs. All of this is based on what happened during slavery, because slavery, he says, was part of the free market economy. Slavery was part of capitalism. Well, it's laughable, because free market requires free labor, not free in that you don't pay for it, but free in the sense that the person owns his own labor and can take it wherever he wants. Mm-hmm. If you're working at McDonald's for $9 an hour and Burger King will offer you $12 an hour, you're free to get up and go. If you're working for Xerox at $150,000 a year and IBM offers you a job at $250,000 a year, unless you have an actual employment contract that you voluntarily entered into with Xerox, you're free to go to the other company and work. Now, slavery? Were all those slaves free? Well, listen, I can go to this other plantation and they'll feed me better. No, it doesn't work that way. They think they own you, and you are not free to take your labor any place you want. So the whole purpose of the 1619 Project and critical race theory in the schools is to believe in the collective, that we are judged on the basis of our group identity, not our individual identity. There are no individual rights. There are only group rights. And, of course, black people are at the top of the heap, and white people, are, especially white males, are at the bottom of the heap in terms of who you listen to. I'll let you get a word in, Pastor Al.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for letting me on the program today. No, that was good. And when we look at this, this is important. And a lot of people might have, as you said, heard about this and questioned some things that have been said. You know, maybe their students, you know, the children or grandchildren or whatever that are in school have come home and said some things. And there's articles that are out in the news. Various school boards that are instituting these things into the schools. And as I was listening to you talk there about the collectivism and the everything that's the antithesis of the free market economy, it's like Marx and Lenin would have been proud to have had this. I mean, it's just it's like you can see their fingerprints all over it, can't you?
Oh, yes, it is. And they admit it. They admit it, that they're trained Marxists, mm-hmm. and they want a Marxist country here, completely diametrically opposed to our foundational documents in Ohio and in the United States as a whole, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, even the Articles of Confederation, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers, and of great concern to us is the Northwest Ordinance that involved the Ohio Company, mm-hmm. which was the first place in the entire world in 1787 to ban slavery. It, at that point, it was legal in all the United States, individual states, and it was legal every place else in the world. And in the Northwest Territories, it was banned.
And right, and that was I actually mentioned that in my testimony before the House Primary and Secondary Education Committee on Tuesday, that it was a revolutionary document in its day. Nowhere in the world, as you pointed out, had they banned slavery. I mean, they didn't just say, well, it's up to you whether you want it or not. They just said, no, you can't have it. It's not going to be. And for those who are not familiar, the Northwest Ordinance was the initial governing document when the early United States of America acquired the territory that today makes up Ohio, where we're sitting.
Five different states.
Yeah, Ohio and Indiana, Illinois,
Michigan,
and Wisconsin. And this was an area that was substantial in size. It wasn't just like acquiring a few towns. This was a substantial area. And if the United States was founded on slavery, and if the revolution was to perpetuate slavery, why is it that just a few years later, they go to great effort to ensure that this huge tract of land that was become a part of the United States would be slave-free?
Well, it's interesting because there were two or three. Here's how it came about. There was a group of Revolutionary War Continental Army veterans mm-hmm. who had never been paid or paid very little, and the government didn't have money to pay them after the Revolution, so they've acquired all this land in the Ohio Territory. So they figured, well, we can pay the soldiers by giving them land grants in the Northwest Territories. And Pastor Josiah Cutler went to the Continental Congress, which was our government then. It was meeting in New York while the Constitutional Convention was going on in Philadelphia, and came to them with this proposal: give this to us. You know, we can farm the land. We can make a lot of money. It'll be good for us. But we have some stipulations that have to be in the ordinance, that no one will dispossess the Indians without due process of law unless they're attacked. There will be free public education, and there will be no slavery. And the Continental Congress said, the representative said, everything's okay except that slavery thing, and we're not going to do that. And Josiah Cutler, after several weeks of lobbying, went back to his hotel, and he was packing up to leave. And they sent a messenger, and they said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. And when I testified about that 2 years ago, one of the members of the House Education Committee said, well, they didn't really mean that, did they? They didn't really mean they didn't want slavery. And I said, wait a minute, why would they walk away? Mm-hmm. They were willing to walk away from this whole thing that would have been very lucrative to their company, was called the Ohio Company, very lucrative to their stockholders, their shareholders. Why would they be willing to walk away if they didn't mean it? Mm-hmm. Of course they meant it. And so Ohio came into the Union as a free state.
Right.
And it didn't. There were people who didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, and when you think about it, I can see why people who promote critical race theory in the 1619 Project would not want people to know about the Northwest Ordinance, because this runs contrary to the myth that they're trying to create with the 1619 Project.
That's right. You can call it a myth, or if you're not as charitable, you can call it propaganda.
Well, yeah,
but they want to change the narrative. Yes. From United States being an exceptional country, which it certainly was then and still is to some extent, mm-hmm. although they're trying to take that exceptionalism away, and they want it to be shown to be a company of the collective that oppressed people.
Right.
And I'm not looking at the clock. I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, we're doing
so
okay.
I don't know
we're
if I actually
through.
Want to depress everybody by reading the philosophical basis for critical race theory.
Yeah, but basically, in a nutshell, how would you sum up critical race theory?
There are oppressors and there are the oppressed. And the white people, especially white males, are the oppressors. And the oppressed are the black people and other people of color. And the way it works is, if you are an oppressor, you don't really understand what you are all about. You don't have the intellectual superiority the oppressed classes do, because they've been oppressed and they understand this stuff. And you don't have you're pure and innocent if you're oppressed, whereas the oppressor class is guilty of sin, tainted by intellectual inferiority. Anyway, it's when you read the analysis, It's one of the most racist documents I've ever seen. And except it's instead of being white supremacist, it's about black supremacy.
And it seems to me, I remember a guy, you mentioned Martin Luther King. I remember seeing his movies in school about his speeches, and the one famous line that he wanted his children not to be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character.
Right.
And then this critical race theory, all this just flies and completely turns that around, doesn't it?
Yeah, they don't like Martin Luther King, the people who promote critical race theory. Look, people who listen to your program know that my wife ran for Congress twice in the inner city of Cleveland and East Cleveland, and we spent years there. We have lots of friends there. It's not like, we're down on black people. We're not. We just are down on people who want to destroy the exceptionalism of America and replace it with something more akin to Venezuela or Cuba. Look, Marxist countries over the course since about, the late 1890s when they started into government and the Russian Revolution in 1917, they've murdered millions of people trying to change human nature. They figure you can make people better, behave better, act better if the government controls them. And it's never worked. It can't work. It never will work. What black folks in the inner city need is to bring themselves up by their own intellectual capability, which they have,
yes,
of course. And they don't need handouts to do it. What they need is the capability to overcome what has been foisted upon them, starting with President Lyndon Johnson's Great Society 100 years after the Civil War, by putting everyone on welfare, separating the man in the family from the income of the family. And when you're on welfare, the husband, the father, gets kicked out of the home, not allowed to be there. And the black family and the black neighborhoods were actually intact for that 100 years between the end of the Civil War and the civil rights era in the 1960s. And the people who put the Great Society in ruined it, and they did it intentionally. Now, that is institutional racism, and the institution is the political party that did that, and it wasn't the Republicans, okay? Right. But there is no systemic racism that causes the problems in the inner city now, although that's what people believe who believe in critical race theory. All whites are biased, prejudiced, racist against all blacks, and that's what's caused the problems in the inner city. Wrong. It's not the case at all. And people, parents, grandparents, they know that. In their heads, they know that. I don't hate black people. I never have hated black people. Mm-hmm. Why are they teaching this to my children? So what we want you to do, we want you to go to an email, which is john@protectohiochildren.net. John, J-O-N, @protectohiochildren.net, and tell us your incidents where your kids have been taught bad things in school about this, specific incidents, if you've got dates, times, teachers' names, whatever, and particularly if you have documents, like the kid brought home an assignment from school, and it's obviously a racist document.
Mm-hmm.
Or if in this time of distant learning, you've been watching on the kid's computer what he's learning in school and you've screenshot some things. These are very important because there are people in the legislature who will say, well, we don't think this is really happening. Give us some evidence that it's real. You're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist, that you can't prove exists. Well, we can. So we're asking people to do that. And that's all going to be collected and presented to the legislators to get their support for whatever bill comes down to take critical race theory training out of the schools. By the way, the schools will tell you they don't teach critical race training.
They change the name.
They just call it something else. You know, if you see something that's equity, especially equity, which isn't equal, not equality, it means equality of outcome, which is impossible. But equity, diversity, like that.
I was going to say equity would mean that I would be just as successful on the basketball court as Michael Jordan.
Oh, I can see that. I've seen you jump. But only
no, that
when,
was called tripping on no, my no, feet. No,
you were praising the Lord and you were getting real high off the ground. I saw it.
Yeah. But, you know, we see these things that are happening. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of getting involved and seeing what's being taught in your schools. Because one of the interesting things that came out of the pandemic and the shutdowns and all, every cloud has the silver lining, as the saying goes, is that a lot of people were awakening to what was being taught to their children. We know they were because some of the teachers were getting upset that the parents were actually seeing what was being taught. And we've got these teachers' unions that they are, let's just say, more in league with Marx than they and are with, yeah.
There was one case in Missouri where I believe a school administrator or a union official wrote to the teachers or put out an email, said, the parents are getting upset by this. So, we suggest that you teach the children what you're teaching them, but to the parents, create a false curriculum and tell them you're doing that instead. And that's on your tax dollars, folks.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, Michael Goldstein, we're coming up on the end of the program. You're going to be speaking tomorrow on this. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, I'll be speaking for about 15 minutes, actually, in the middle of a long program at Medina County Friends and Neighbors, McFan, M-C-F-A-N, Medina County Friends and Neighbors. It's on. It's just off of I-71 on Route 18 between Akron and Medina, and you can find it. It's at a place called the Thirsty Cowboy.
Yes. Which is,
and it's a very, very good meeting done by our friend Lisa Woods, and I'll be speaking, and there will be another speaker, too. And we're going to talk mostly about parents getting involved and sending us this information that we could collate and digest and give to our legislators. By the way, those of you who live in Rocky River, there was a huge school board meeting last night with opponents of critical race theory. They were so thick on the ground, they were around all the walls too deep.
Hmm.
And they had a wonderful program telling their school board members that this is idiocy. As our friend Peter Kirsten, I would say, this is just nuts.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one thing in addition to letting you know about incidences of this. Parents can go to school board meetings. A lot of times we forget they work for us. We're the ones who hired them when you vote at the ballot box. And not only that, parents can run for school board.
Sure.
You don't have to have an education degree or be a school administrator to serve on a school board.
You're better off without it.
Exactly. And so I would urge...
different school districts, the parents are all organizing to do this.
Yes.
Find them. Get in touch with them. And my motto is, you need 200 angry moms in T-shirts to go to every school board meeting in.
There we go. And I encourage people to get out. Thanks and kudos to those in Rocky River that did. What is that email address to send cases to?
That is John, J-O-N, at protectohiochildren.net.
All right. Get that again.
I'll try.
Checking your memory here.
Yeah, hopefully I haven't said it wrong, but it's John at protectohiochildren.net.
All right. Well, again, Michael Goldstein, I'm glad you could come in the studio with us today. We've been talking about this, and you and I have talked about this privately, and I know you're talking about this with a lot of people around the state, and indeed through Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, you're talking about this and similar things, people in other parts of the country, and it's important. It's one of those things that, you know, ever vigilant. You have to ever be vigilant. What was it Benjamin Franklin said when he was asked what kind of government we got? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. And this is one of the ways that we keep it, by watching out those elected officials. What are they doing? And holding them accountable. We vote for them. They work for us. It's not the other way around. And you can make a difference. So, Michael, thank you again. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the opportunity, and it's always great to work with you, Pastor Al.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And, of course, there's some legislation coming down the pike. We'll have to get the information out on that, too. But thanks again.
And then we'll be asking you to call your legislators.
That's right. It's another thing that we can do. And don't let them put you off. They like to act like they're an elite group, but they work for us. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening Live with Pastor Al. And join us again next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.